Shalom Aleichem, welcome one and all as we prepare for Shabbos Parshas Vayera. And this week we have once again the mitzvah of Brit Milah, which was commanded in last week's parsha. And in this parsha, with the birth of Yitzchak, of course, we have a Brit Milah again. I'd like to mention something that was discussed in our Beis Medrash last week, and something of interest that has to do with a diuk, with the language of the psukim, both in this week's parasha and last week's parasha. I mentioned that a shaila had come up in our area in Flatbush a little over 20 years ago, I believe. There was a young man learning in the Kollel in Australia who had his first son. If I recall correctly, for his parents, it was the first grandchild. However, his mother was not well. She was confined to bed and would not be able to go to Australia for the bris. So they decided to fly to New York. If I recall correctly, the baby was born on a Monday. And on Thursday, they flew back to New York to have the bris the following week. It's not common to fly with such a tiny baby, but this is what happened. So they came here. Now, when a baby is born on Monday, the bris is the following Monday. Babies any day of the week. A baby is born a certain day of the week. Then the bris is that day of the week the next week, because the day of birth is day one, Mixus Yom Kekulei, and then six complete days, that's seven, and then the day of the bris is the eighth day. Once they got here, a tremendous question was brought up, and a question which needs an answer, which even till today, I'm not certain what the correct answer is. What is the question? The question is, when you fly from Australia to Brooklyn, you cross the date line, you fly across the Pacific, and according to all shittas, you're passing the date line, which means to say that when this baby here in Brooklyn was 8 days old, meaning that a sunset had passed on him the first day, six more days, and now was in his eighth day. That was Sunday. Because he had passed the international date line, he fell back a day, and he was 8 days old on Sunday. The question was whether to have the bris on Monday, born on Monday, bris on Monday. Well, we say, what? Born on Monday, bris 8 days later, which is Sunday. That was the issue. Now, let me explain the issue. What is the general rule about someone passing the date line in either direction? The answer to that is the following very simple rule. Some halachas are dependent on the calendar. For example, Yom Kippur is the 10th day of Tishrei. Whenever the 10th day of Tishrei comes, that's Yom Kippur. And therefore, even if someone crosses the date line, and we're talking where he certainly crossed the date line, there's a machlokes what the date line exactly is, but from Australia to New York, according to everyone, you cross the date line. When you cross the date line and you arrive in Brooklyn, whenever the 10th of Tishrei is in Brooklyn, that is going to be Yom Kippur. Because Yom Kippur is determined by the calendar. It's a calendar day. So even if someone had Rosh Hashanah in Australia, and he flew to Brooklyn, and the 10th day from Rosh Hashanah is the 9th of Tishrei here, he would not fast, because he doesn't fast on a 10th of Aseres Tishrei. He doesn't count 10 days. Whatever the calendar day is, your Tishrei, that is Yom Kippur. There are other halachas which don't depend on the calendar day, but depend on lapsed time. The amount of time that lapsed or passed from day one to the day that we're standing in today. For example, let's say someone is tameh. He touched the mace. It takes him 7 days to become tar. Now, those 7 days are totally not connected to the calendar day. It doesn't matter what day of the month it is. 7 days have to pass. If a woman becomes a nida, she needs 7 days to become tar. Those 7 days are not connected to any date on the calendar. a period of lapsed time, so that if somebody had day of Tumah number one in Australia on Monday and flew here, the following Sunday would be day eight. The following Shabbos would be day seven. So that it's totally in lapsed time and has nothing to do with the calendar day. This is the basic rule of crossing the date line. If it depends on the calendar, you go by the day in the place where you're located. And if it has to elapse time, then you count the time that elapsed. What about Bris Milah? And this was the Tumah. Do we say Bris Milah is a calendar date? The baby is born on a Monday. The Bris is the next Monday. He's 8 days old. Or is it lapse time? Is it that 7 days have passed? And now it's the eighth day. And that was the Tumah at the time. If I recall correctly, there was no clear psak, and the bris, therefore, was done on the later day. Anytime you're not sure if a bris should be done on one day or the next, you always do it on the later day to play it safe. Because a bris done a day late is certainly kosher. A bris done a day earlier, if it's before the eighth day, would not be kosher. And this is what they did. Now, many asked me, what's the shaila? A bris should certainly be the eighth day. What's the question? It should be lapse time. It's not really a calendar day. So to that, I want to respond that the Lashon, the language used in the Torah for Bris Milah, both in Parshas Lech Lecha and in Parshas of Vayera, indicates, it doesn't say, L'yayim Hashmini Yimal B'sar HaLasai. It says in Lech Lecha, in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Beis, Uben Shmeinas Yamim, Yimol Lochem Kol Zachar. What does it mean, Ben Shmeinas Yamim? It means when he is 8 days old. 8 days old, he's not going to be 8 days old. That depends on the calendar day. Just like a bar mitzvah, when is he going to be 13 years old? You have to look at the calendar. Ben, if it's totally being 8 days old, 8 days old should depend on the calendar. And this is where the Shaila took place. The same thing in our parashim by Yair, of Yom Avram Yitzchak ben Shem Benai, ben Shmeinas Yamim, when he was 8 days old. It doesn't say, La'achar Shmeinas Yamim, after 8 days had passed. No, it says when the baby was that age. And therefore, it would appear that, as I'm saying, the question is still valid. Logic would somehow dictate lapse time. However, the language of the Torah dictates calendar time, and I think that was the suffix. Let's move from a halacha topic to a machshava topic. And that has to do with an understanding of the averis of the city of Sodom. I'd like to share with you a shmooze that Rav Palm would often say on this week's parasha. There's a sugya in the Gemara in Yuma, and in Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Yom Kippurim, Siman Tav Reish Zayin, Avoinai Shesvada Aleihem B'Yom Kippurim She'ovar, an Aveira that a person said Vidoy, or the Tshuva for, on the last Yom Kippur, V'loi Shina Aleihem, and he didn't repeat those Aveiras. What's the din the following Yom Kippur? Should he say Vidoy again for those Aveiras? The Shulchan Aruch says, Yochel Lazar Ulisvade Salem. He's not obligated. It seems that it's praiseworthy to say Vidui again on the past Aveira. Now, I'm not talking about the general language of the Al-Chaits that are printed in Al-Zayr, that we say as a matter of Nusach. I'm talking about the Al-Chaits that individuals add because they know they did an Aveira. Say, someone, God forbid, missed his Kriyashma one day in the year, and he didn't say Kriyashma Bismanai. She says, Mavatla mitzvah saseh, a terrible thing. She says, Achet shechatanu lefonecha, bepikla mitzvah kriyashma. So you should say that. Now what happens if it happened 1 year and he did tshuva, and now it's the next year? Should he say it again? So it says, in the Shulchan Aruch, we paskin, you're allowed to, but they're not obligated to. Zakta Mishnah Berurah. What about bein odom lechaveroi averis? Missing kriyashma is bein odom lamok. What about being Adam L'Chaveroi? So it's a fascinating thing the Mishnah Berurah says there in Siman Tav Reish Zayin. He says that it depends what type of Aveira. If he stole from somebody else, gone of a gazal, or he cheated him in a price, then he should keep on saying Vidoy, Tarizem Meshubach, because that's an Aveira to God as well. It's Aveira Olam Lechaveira. But the Mishnah Berurah says, Nekom Okem Lam Okem Chata, he still sinned to Hashem as well. Then the Mishnah Berurah says, Avalimit Nitai Vidvarim, but if he caused them pain with words, then Kivin Shabikish Mesilim Mechaveira, Visvadiyem Kippur Echad, Ein Sarach Lesvadis Vyen Kippurim Sheni. Then this doesn't apply. If you cause them pain with words, then you have to do tshuva, but you don't have to do tshuva the second Yom Kippur. The Shara Tzion there says a bigger chiddush, but we're talking now about the Mishnah Berurah. So the question is, what's the difference? What's the difference between stealing and causing someone pain with words? Why is one also Ben Adam Lamakim and the others Ben Lachaveri alone? So Rapam would explain. In the halach yelach life, in life, sometimes you cause pain to other people in words. It's an aveira. You have to do tshuva and you have to ask a mechila. It's a nice aveira. However, when people are dishonest in their business dealings, when they steal or they cheat one the other, it's more. It causes a atmosphere of dishonesty in a society. It ruins a society. It does harm to a society. That there are people who profess to be Orthodox Jews, and God forbid are dishonest, that causes a greater amount of harm. I'll give another example. Let's say, for example, you're in a shul, and for some reason, you have to run out right after Kriyas HaTorah of Shacharis. It happens. People sometimes have to run out, and it's not ideal. But you have to make it to a job, you have to make it to whatever it is you're going to a simcha, to a bris, you run out. So it's something that happens in a shul. I don't know if you have to do tshuva on that at all. What happens if you're in a shul where everyone is mezalzel, everyone takes light to staying to the end of davening. And people, you have 35 people davening and 20 of them are running out right after Kriyas HaTorah by Aleinu. You're stuck. Someone once said that there are three Kadeshim at the end of the evening. After Volatzin is Kadesh Shalem. Shalem, everyone's in Shul. So it's a Kadesh Shalem. Then after Ekalakenu, there's a Kadesh Darabanan. The rabbis are still in Shul. Everybody else ran out already. And after Aleinu, there's Kadesh Yosem. Everyone ran out. You save them, stay behind. There's such Shuls. In those Shuls, for you to leave early is terrible. Why? Because you're contributing to an atmosphere of zilzal, an atmosphere of making light of something that's happening. And those are two levels of aveira. One level of aveira is you do something. Sometimes it may not even be an aveira. But if you're in a shul with a mezalzel, if you're in a shul where people talk ben gavra legavra, you have to be extra careful not to talk ben gavra legavra. Because you're contributing to a rotting of the atmosphere of Kedusha of the shul. And so, that is the musig that Rafam explained. He explained that's the terrible Aveir of Sadaim. Terrible Aveir of Sadaim is the fact that it was a city with an atmosphere of oppression of the poor. A city with an atmosphere of hatred for Arachim, or for Achdasus Arachim. And that compounds the Aveira. A person has to be very careful. Obviously, this explains, we find on Yom Kippur, on Rosh Hashanah rather, Kol Bnei Adam Oivin Lefon of Kibnei Marayim, that everybody is judged individually in front of God. And then it says, V'kulam Niskirim Biskira Achas. God looks at everyone with one look. It's a stira. They're individuals or with one look. So the answer is this Yisayid, Rapam's Yisayid, that even though an individual is judged individually, but he's contributing to a negative atmosphere of a tzibor, then that's kulam niskar and viskira achas. So this is a point of behavior, a very practical point of behavior that people have to be extra careful about. If they find themselves in a group that's mezalzel on something, they have to be extra careful in that. And with that, I wish everybody an absolutely wonderful Shabbos. May it be a Shabbos of Aliyah for you, for me, for all of Klal Yisrael.